You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
This is MLB.com Extra, the Oakland Athletics. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, joined by Allison Footer of MLB.com, and Jane Lee, who covers the Athletics, is on the way. Allison, okay, you heard last week they traded, that Billy Bean had traded, had acquired John Lester, and you think, oh, that's okay. And then you heard who he gave up, and you said, what?
Oh, my God, there was just a trade made.
That's what everybody
said. Major league players for major league players. It was unbelievable because you really don't see that this time of year.
It was amazing. Do you think the A's now are the best team in the American League, or if not the best team in baseball now?
I thought that they were the best team in baseball for a really long time, and my opinion hasn't changed. I think that giving up a bat like Cespedes is, at the same time, a very risky thing to do. But as we all know, pitching is what wins championships. So when you trade away hitting to get pitching, then, you know, I would put the dominoes in favor of the Oakland Athletics at this point.
We're joined now by Jane Lee of MLB.com. Jane, let me ask you this. As Billy looked at this trade, how in his mind did he think, okay, we're going to be okay without Yoenis Cespedes in the middle of our lineup, both in terms of production, in terms of presence? How did he run that past his little calculator in his mind?
You know, the bottom line with him was, if we have a John Lester, we don't need to score as many runs. And so that's why he was okay with giving up Cespedes. He did say, which usually, you know, he's not one to admit in hesitation or anything, but this one took him a little bit longer to, you know, come to terms with and that, to actually say, okay, I'm going to go through with this. This is what we're going to do. Because, and let's face it, Cespedes was their biggest threat in the lineup. I mean, you still have guys like Josh Donaldson, Brandon Moss, Josh Reddick's coming around, guys that can hit the ball out of the park. But they don't have that same presence as Cespedes. I mean, Cespedes is a special player, and not just offensively, but defensively as well. But they felt like, you know, if they brought in a piece like Lester, and this trade was all about Lester. The A's weren't interested in just adding more pitching. It was going to be Lester or nothing. And so he went all in on this, and he thought, you know, if we can add a guy of Lester caliber, then, you know, that's going to further our chances in what we want to do. And maybe the eye of the postseason and think, gosh, this is, you know, the greatest postseason rotation ever, aside from, you know, what the Tigers have over there too. But the Angels are only one game behind, and that's kind of, they've always said, you know, this is our focus right now, and you kind of laugh and say, yeah, but well, you know, you of course did this for the postseason. Well, now you look and, you know, they lost yesterday, the Angels won, their offense has been scuffling, and you're thinking, okay, you know, they really do need to get there first, and they're really trying to avoid that one game playoff.
I'd like to, you had a really nice scoop that got a little bit of play nationally. It showed sort of the gamesmanship and the camaraderie between general managers. Billy Bean was reiterating to you what the conversations were and going on, and there was an interesting text exchange between Bean and Dave Dombrowski. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so when I was first relayed the story, I think Bean was kind of paraphrasing, and so I actually misunderstood it. The first version I heard was that, you know, Bean went and got Lester, and then Dombrowski came back and got David Price. And he had texted Bean, okay, you have 1 minute to go get Chris Sale. And it was actually Bean who texted Dombrowski, you know, okay, we have 1 minute to go get Chris Sale. Either way, I mean, it's pretty funny because these are, you know, two of the best GMs in baseball, two GMs that have been stacked up against each other in the playoffs the last 2 years. And here they are minutes before the trade deadline, you know, exchanging text like that. And Billy had kind of been in on the Price rumors the night before, and so he wasn't surprised at all that Dombrowski reeled him in. I think he saw it coming more than anyone. And but just, yeah, you don't really hear about that too often. And I know they, you know, value and respect each other a lot and are always in touch.
Jane, one of the stories that came out in the wake of this trade was that Yoenis Cespedes was not popular in his clubhouse. Can you enlighten us on whether that's true or not?
Yeah, I really don't know where that came from. I started hearing that too after the trade, and that's kind of the furthest thing from, I think, what anyone knows to be true here. I mean, this was a guy, I talked to several players immediately after the trade, and, you know, as a reporter, I was kind of mostly looking for the reaction on what bringing in a John Lester meant for this team, and they couldn't get past the fact that they had let go of a guy like Yordis. You know, especially I was talking to Sean Doolittle, and you know, he was pretty much in shock. He said it's a lot to take in, and I don't know that it'll really process for a few days because, you know, we have to go in there, and he's not going to be in there anymore, and that's a guy that everyone really enjoyed being around. And then I saw some pictures kind of float around Twitter afterwards of guys meeting up with Yoenis the night before he left for Boston, you know, taking pictures, saying their goodbyes. So I really don't know where that was coming from. I mean, yeah, there's been that language barrier with his teammates, but he's always, you know, been seen goofing around, having fun with them. I know Bob Melvin really did love him as a player, love him as a person. I think everyone felt the same way about him.
So how does this middle of the order shake up now? I saw in a recent story that you wrote that it's sort of a mishmash. In the middle of the batting order. So is that going to be, will there be something said as time goes on? Is it going to be a matchup thing? How do you think that's going to work?
It'll definitely be a matchup thing. Right now it's kind of a, I don't want to say a mess, but they're really kind of shuffling things just because everyone's struggling a bit right now. Josh Donaldson's hitting 194 since June 7th. Brandon Moss is hitting around 180 over the past 3 weeks. And those are their middle-of-the-order guys now without Cespedes. And so you're going to have a guy like Derek Norris maybe move up to the cleanup spot, like he was there yesterday against the lefty. And then on other days, Moss can hit cleanup. And Donaldson will probably pretty consistent there in that three-hole. But it really just depends on the day. And, you know, Josh Reddick's been swinging the bat really well, so he, too, could kind of find his way back to the middle of the order. We saw that most of 2012 when he hit 32 home runs and just had that crazy year. And ever since, he's been dropped down, you know, mostly batting 7th, 8th this year. Tonight, he's up 6th in the lineup. And I could kind of see him climbing up there, too. But, yeah, it really just depends on the matchups, how guys are swinging. I kind of see it changing day to day.
Jane, do you have a sense of what, or a feeling, or what does he say, what's going on with Donaldson? We haven't seen him struggle like this too much.
No, it's a little weird. Like, you know, before the All-Star break, he just didn't look completely comfortable in the box, and then he comes out of the break, you know, for a week there, swinging a really hot bat, and he just looked more balanced, and his leg kick, which is a big part of his swing, looked to be back intact. But now it's just, you know, he's also hitting, a lot of these guys have been hitting into bad luck. They're hitting the ball hard. Shifts, especially this past weekend, got to them pretty good. And, you know, they're playing the Rays this week, and the Rays are shift heavy too. So they're just going to have to make adjustments. And I don't know if it's frustration, if it's pressure, especially now with Cespedes gone, if these guys are, you know, feeling it a little bit, that they have to step it up, which they do. But they have to do so without, you know, putting all the weight on their shoulders. So, I mean, Donaldson sometimes is a guy that might be trying too hard, might be trying to hit it out of the ballpark. That happens with a lot of guys like Reddick. That's what he always said, you know, was his issue. And you're seeing Reddick now looking real relaxed, real balanced in the box. And I think that's just kind of what Josh Donaldson has to get back to, too.
What about Jason Hamill? It's been an interesting study sort of watching him, and he's struggled since he's joined the A's, and I know that the A's are sticking with him and, you know, very publicly saying that he, you know, he's had so much success and he has every right to be given some time to, you know, adjust to his new team, new league. Where do you see him fitting into this? I mean, is this a cause for alarm?
I do think it is. I was a little surprised that they've extended his leash, I thought, after his last outing in Houston. I mean, it was really hard to watch. I mean, the guy gives up 6 runs in the first inning. He struggled to give them innings in all of his starts. And they just can't afford to, you know, keep running him out there every fifth day if this is what they're getting. Now, this is a proven guy, a veteran guy who has, you know, he has a track record. He's shown what he can do when he's on. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, you know, this week, next week, they might have to pull him and, you know, put a guy like Jesse Chavez back into the rotation, which is a luxury for them to have. But, you know, with Hamill, it's just been command. I mean, his balls have been up every single start. You know, he has a string where he finds it for maybe an inning or two and then just loses it all over again. And you'd think that it's not really a mental issue right now because he has been around so long, but it's got to be, you know, hard for him right now. Just with confidence being on a team that has such a good rotation. I mean, guys are kind of trying to outdo each other. And especially, you know, lately with, you know, Lester and Gray and Kazmir has been a little spotty of late, but they all give this team innings, and that's something that Hamill hasn't. And that's pretty taxing on the bullpen. So I don't see them giving him that much more of a leash. And like I said before, I'm surprised that he is still in the rotation just because all of these games are of such importance with the Angels, you know, right behind them.
Jane, one last question for me, and I probably should have asked you this earlier. What did you think? Okay, like Lester was a rumor out there. What did you think when you heard that Cespedes was going to Boston for Lester? What was your first reaction?
I you know, I found out, I shockingly did not find out on Twitter. I found out from a person first, and I thought they were joking. And I laughed. And it took me going on Twitter and not just reading one tweet or two tweets, but about 10 or 15 to actually realize, okay, this is happening. And, you know, it happened so early in the morning. It was very early on the West Coast. And so it took me a few minutes before I was actually like, okay, I got to get on my phone. I got to get on my computer and get this going because it was just so hard to process it all. And I think it still is. I mean, I don't know, Cespedes, he gave the A's just kind of, you know, he was kind of the face of this organization, something they really hadn't had in a while, and they don't really have that presence anymore. Of course, you know, Josh Donaldson is kind of that too, and he could be become an even greater presence if he sticks around a while. But Cespedes was just, you know, he had that star power. You know, he's a two-time home run derby champ, and for him to just be, you know, gone in a blink of an eye, for a guy that's only going to be around for 2 or 3 months, it's a little hard to digest around here. But, you know, it comes back to this game being about a business, and the A's have made it no secret that they don't care about next year or the year after. They care about this year. You know, they have the tools this year to win a championship, and that's something that Bean hasn't been able to bring here in his 16 years as the general manager. You know, they've gone to the playoffs 7 times. They haven't even, they've advanced to the second round just once. So this is a long and frustrating history they've had in the postseason, and this just kind of shows, like, okay, he's really, really all in. And if you really think about it, I don't think Cespedes would have been back next year. Next year was the last year of his contract, and once he's gone, he's a free agent. So I think they would have used this offseason, no matter what happened this year, to get something back for him while they could.
The fascinating part is we'll be evaluating that trade right through the end of October, hopefully.
Yes, yes, we will.
Jane Lee, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.